Blog Talk Radio.
Put on for my city.
grassroots mouthpiece.
Okay. Yes, are you there?
I'm here, Marcus. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, yeah, we're having some technical problems. I'm sorry about that. It just like, I guess that's got to be the network because it just kept looping the song over and over and over, and I couldn't stop it. I'm sitting here pressing the button. But, yeah, this is another edition of the Child Support Hustle Show with Kenya Rockman, and today we got guest Marie on, and she's going to tell us how she was hurt by the Title IV-D and child support system and what happened to her and her family. Okay, Marie, you want to tell us a little bit about your personal experience?
Is she there?
She's there.
We can't hear her.
Marie, we can't hear you.
Hello?
Okay,
hey,
yeah, now you're back. Yeah, we.
Hey, Marie.
All right.
Hey.
Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Just wanted to hear your story. I know we've been corresponding via Facebook and Messenger and everything, so it's really a pleasure to have you on and having you hearing you tell your story of the nightmare that you're having up there in Colorado.
Yes, it has been quite the nightmare. It all started in October of last year. My stepson came to us for fall break from school, and his mom said that she had lost her residence and she wasn't able to take him back. So we went ahead and switched the custody order so that primary residence was with us and enrolled him in school and got everything going. But they continued to garnish for child support $260 a week. We went ahead and went down to the child support with all of the evidence and a letter from her saying that she wanted the case to be closed. And they stopped the garnishment, but then at the end of December, they levied my bank account and froze all my assets. So we were left with like $23 in cash, and that was it. We now have 5 children to support off of that.
Oh, wow.
After that, we struggled. We both took on second jobs. We tried to keep our head above water, filed our taxes. They confiscated both of our taxes. So we were left without that as well.
Did you all get any notification from the Child Support Enforcement Agency on the status of you all requesting to have the case closed during this time?
Not during that time. We got our first correspondence at the end of April, and it was a letter saying that they received her letter saying that she wanted the case to be closed, but that we couldn't do that until we saw a judge in October.
So from April to October.
And all
then
the
at
way
this
in
time
October.
They were still garnishing $260 a week, and your assets were still frozen, and they had seized your tax returns.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So on the second week of June, we received a check and a letter saying that they would release our account. They released our bank account with $0 in it. And they sent us a check for $1,160. So our account is now in the negative about $500 because we had automatic bill pay, and then our bank charged a fee for the levy. So there was all these fees hitting this account that had no money in it, and it was just accumulating over time. And through it all, they still will not let us close the account, even though we voluntarily opened it so that she could no longer deny visitation.
Wow. That is quite the ordeal. And so are they still not giving you any information as to the status to close the case? They just gave you this refund with no update on to whether you can terminate the case or not?
With the refund check was a letter stating that we could sign up through their system to have money automatically put onto a card once a month. We were given a caseworker who explained that when you open the case, there is someone there that can sign on behalf of a judge to open the case, but there is nobody there that can sign on behalf of a judge to close it. So you actually have to physically appear in family court.
That is all the information we
have been given.
Okay, let me get in here for a second. Can y'all hear me good?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to ask you about, since you had to fight to get the visitation, did you experience any parental alienation prior to that?
Yes. She would not let him. So what happened, when they split up, she left and left him with the baby. He came into some financial hardships and was losing his apartment. So he took the baby to her while he got himself back on his feet. Once he was back on his feet, from the time he was about 8 or 9 months until he was 3, she did not let him see him at all.
Oh, wow.
So it was quite the struggle trying to rebuild that relationship. On top of that, this child is, he is autistic. He is just high functioning.
Uh-huh.
So there are other issues.
Yeah. Now, I was just going to say, you lose valuable time that you'll never get back.
Right. Right.
Marie, was there court-ordered visitation during that 8 months and 3 years that she kept him away, that she alienated him from his child? Was there a court order for visitation?
There was nothing. There was nothing. Once he and I got married, I explained to him that we needed to get a court order for visitation because it wasn't right. And we were given a 50-50 custody arrangement, but they still ordered child support. But she was to have him during the period that he was in school, and any time he was not in school, weekends, holidays, breaks, he was with us.
That's the problem. The courts don't. No, I was just going to say the courts, they will give a parent everything like that and still demand the money. They'll want you to do everything, but still they want the money.
Yes. And we had no issue with paying it as long as she kept with her side that we still got to see him. We maintained all of his insurance, everything. We bought all of his clothes, all his shoes. We maintained everything for him on top of the child support.
Wow.
And then she lost her residence, and it was like the sixth or seventh time that she had lost residence and had to move. And she just said, he's being bad in school anyway, so why don't you guys just keep him and we'll reverse everything. And she was fine with letting go of the child support.
So Marie.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, so on top of the $1,040 a month in child support that you all were paying, you were still providing clothes, shoes, and everything else for him?
Yes, everything. We maintained his vision insurance, dental insurance, medical insurance, all of his therapies, everything.
And they didn't take that into account when you opened up the child support case, that you had maintained any of those finances or taken care of any of those expenses prior to you guys opening up the child support case?
Yeah, they didn't take any of that into account. They took into account that we were married and how much money both of us made together and made their calculations based upon that. The struggle has been very, very real between her and the state of Colorado.
And is this a Title 4D case where welfare was involved with the case? Or
welfare did
not
become involved until around November of last year, because during the time that she lost her residence, she took him out of school and told them he was with us long before he was with us. So he missed a total of 6 weeks of school, and then the DHS case was opened against her. And then she transferred custody, residential custody, to us.
Okay, so when she had, so this isn't a traditional welfare case where the whole time that the case was open, it was a 4D welfare case. You're saying it was just for like a month, so it's not a duration of time where all the money that is owed to the state.
Right.
So I'm struggling and trying to understand why they are denying you guys the right to close the case, because once the person that initiates the case says they want the case closed, as well as the other party, the other parent, that's the only thing that you need to close the case. So I'm curious as to why they are denying you that right. Besides saying that you need to be in front of a judge, you should be able to just write a letter. It should be that simple. Write a letter, both of you sign it, get it notarized, and submit it.
And that's what the caseworker told us, but then they said they can't close anything out until we go before the judge in October.
And see, that's going to continue to accumulate on everything else and will leave you unresolved. That always strikes me why the two people involved with it can't close the case. That's one of the things I think is so sad. You can't close the case.
Right.
And then
it's incredibly
frustrating.
We're up against a wall. I mean, we've contacted everybody that we can contact. And then we did also let them know that we were paying the $260 a week, but she was only getting $213 a week. So there was a discrepancy there. And where was the rest of that money going?
Oh. And was it being charged as if you didn't pay it?
It wasn't being charged as if we didn't pay it, but they said that it was some kind of payment to the state.
Oh, okay. Okay. They always get their cut. This might be a little personal. You'll have to divulge this if you don't want to. Are you paying for a lawyer or are you using a court-appointed lawyer?
We are paying for a lawyer.
Oh, okay. Okay. So,
my
like
husband
a lot of times,
has a friend
a
and he
times,
set us up so we. I'm sorry.
And a lot of times too, I know you trust your lawyer too, but learn everything you can and visit sites like, www.thechildsupporthustle.com and search through sites like that and try to learn more because a lot of times these lawyers, their hands are kind of tied. They'll fight to a certain extent, but when they go in there, they know they're dealing with the judge's 401K, the social worker's 401K, all these ad litem's 401K. They know they're dealing with that, and they're not going to go in there really, I don't think, in my opinion, and really fight for you like they can on a you know, constitutional rights and all this other stuff, because they know that these Title 4D is paying these people's salary and retirement. And they don't want to ruin their names. I mean, if they come in there doing something like that. But maybe you can learn something, you know, through sites like the Child Support Hustle and others, that you may can tell your lawyer, hey, what about this? Why don't you file this? I'm not saying he's not a good lawyer. I'm just saying sometimes you have to push them in the right direction and understand what they're up against. It's even hard. Like Kenya has these town halls around the country, and we know that these legislators it's hard for them to tackle this, but I commend Representative Antonio. Tell me about Antonio for a minute, Kenya, and what he was managed to do against the system. And that's what you got to do in your case. You got to reach out to your elected officials.
Antonio Parkinson, Representative Antonio Parkinson out of Tennessee, Shelby County, he passed legislation where they cannot go back past 5 years retroactively to collect child support. Before he introduced and passed and fought and passed, they had the bill passed, they could go back for the age of the child, for the life of the child. So they can go back 18 plus years, but now they can only go back five to collect on the child support. So,
and I say that, Marie. So this is one part of your fight too. Try to reach out to some legislators and try to see and you can talk to them. You know, I know the Child Support Hustle. You know, we're working on some legislation that we're going to try to introduce in some places. You know, to try to help this. But also in your fight, you know, it's good to have a paid attorney, but always do some of your own research. But also try to make an effort to reach out to some of your elected officials.
Right. It
and
is
then,
election season around here, so that might be pretty beneficial to me.
And then another thing, Colorado charges 12% interest on any late child support payments. So that's something definitely to look into, because if you have until October, if they're telling you till October to see a judge, they can, and they're so tricky and they're so tricky and underhanded in how they charge people these imaginary debts that you can look up and find out that this, where you don't owe money or you owe very little, can balloon out of control just based on fees and interest. And, you know, next thing you know, you're underwater and you don't even know how. So, another good resource is filing a complaint with the Federal Child Support Enforcement Agency. I urge everybody to do that if you feel like your local agency is not respecting your rights, violating your rights. And their website, you can always go to contact@thechildsupporthustle.com, and I can send you the link. I don't have it, like I can't send it from here, but I can definitely send it to you. And they have,
also check us also out on Twitter as well, and follow us on Twitter.
Okay.
So,
I will
definitely
look into that. I'm not on Twitter, but so right now the attorney that we have, he has just basically been our attorney because my husband is a courier, so he does all the traffic stuff. But he said that he would take this on with, you know, very minimal knowledge on the case or on any history regarding child support. So we basically just keep in contact, exchanging information, things that we have found out, hoping that everything turns out for the better in October and we can get everything closed. Because we don't want them to reverse the order and make her pay because he lives with us now. We just want it done. We want these people out of our lives.
And that
There's
is
no
your
reason
right.
to put her in financial hardship.
And that is your right. And there should be, like I said earlier, it's just because my case was similar. Well, I was the custodial parent, and it took me 8 years of fighting the state of Ohio to get my case closed against my child's father.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do it because that Title IV-D funding, they get so much money on the dollar.
You can do that math, and I'm telling you, it's all about the money. Now maybe one thing you could do, if they're talking about they can get it reversed, you know, I will have to talk about this off the air. We'll talk about some strategy. Me and you and Kenya talk about some strategy. But like I was saying, definitely. And I got something that we may can work on this. All right, tell us about out there in Colorado, have you seen many cases like yours? and any other horror stories. If you hear anybody that's got cases similar to yours or any other horror stories, here at the Child Support Hustle, we trying to put everybody's story out there on the platform. You got a story, you know, we welcome to let you come on and share it. So have you heard about the problems with DHR out in Colorado before you had your experience?
Oh, yes, they're pretty vicious, DHS, out here. And they always favor the mother regardless of her mental state or her ability to provide for her children, even when they're better off with their father. I have a friend who had twins with a woman, and he is financially stable. He's a teacher. He's got a house. And the state still gave custody of the twin boys to the mother, who's a known drug addict, always
Title
going from place
four,
to place on all kinds
Title
of welfare.
Title IV defunding.
Wow.
Title
IV
defunding.
Yeah.
Wait, there's cases. I know a case here in Alabama where the mother has had two chemical endangerment convictions, and nothing happened to her. You know, they're going to maintain that case. That's a lot of money. That's why they don't want to give it up, like Kenya was talking about. That is a lot of money. Think about it. For 18 years, you got to pay this amount. That's a lot of money, and they don't want to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some cases where people have offered to pay out the rest of their child support. You know, they have like a few years to go. 4 and 5 years ago, and they offered the whole payout, and the state won't take it.
Well, Marcus, to put a number on it, in Colorado, for every dollar they spend, they get a return on investment of $4.30. The current amount due, estimated for 2017, was it was $256 million. But the arrears were calculated at $1.2 billion. That is a huge discrepancy. That's how much they're overcharging parents from the amount that they are saying is owed versus how much debt they're putting on parents.
Yes.
That's ridiculous for that return on investment. And the national average for every dollar is $5.15. That's for 2017. Not to mention the $5 million they get in incentive payments. That's what Colorado received, and the national average was $493 million. So this is big money that goes into this child support machine. I can't even call it a program anymore. I got it from Dr. Umar, the machine, because it just keeps going and going, and it's so big. It's going to take a lot of us fighting to break this machine down. And Marie, people like you coming out, telling your stories and talking about it and fighting back, it means a lot. So we thank you.
And yes,
I appreciate you guys listening and helping me out, because we are literally with our back against the wall. We don't know where to go.
I'm glad.
So very difficult.
Yeah, we're so glad you're telling your story. Like Kenya was saying, this is going to empower others to speak out. We need more people to speak out. We got momentum. We are being heard. And we just need more people to speak out, more people to share their stories, more people to alert their legislators. You know, let the legislators know, and hopefully we'll find some people that will want to take a different route and try to make some changes, you know, for the best interest of parents and children.
Yes.
Yes.
And definitely we can get together and find out ways how we can help you on our end, and we're here to do whatever we can to speed up your process and help get your family, you know, back on track. We're here, and we'll help with all resources that we have available. Definitely.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Also, share the page. Share the page and the website with all that you know, because we're very strong, and we're talking to a lot of people around the country and doing town halls. And you never know, we could do a town hall in Colorado. Tell everybody. to get in touch with us, to follow us, because we'll be coming there soon. We've hit several states. I mean, Alabama, Tennessee, Ohio, Texas, and some other areas. We're trying to get everywhere. So just let people there know that there is somewhere that you can turn to. Just tell them to visit, you know, thechildsupporthustle.com.
Okay, I definitely will. I know a few people that I've already talked to about it that are very interested in your cause.
Okay, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Oh, okay, with that, we're gonna wrap the show up. But Marie, we want to take this time. Also, we're not gonna forget about you. If you, your lawyer, or anybody that you know of need to come on the show and share their stories with us, either on the show or come on the Child Support Hustle page, feel free to do so, because like Kenya said, we're here to help. And with that, we're going to end the show. Unless Kenya, you got something to say before we end it?
I do want to say I want people to please send a letter to their legislators and their media outlets asking who has jurisdiction. As of today, we still don't know why people are being arrested for owing child support debt without their right to due process. Felix Manis was arrested in Pennsylvania. He died. He was in jail for $750 child support debt. He was doing 3 months in a work release program. He was denied medical attention and had an asthma attack. And because he was not given medical attention, he died in jail. So we want to know who has jurisdiction. We want answers, and we want to end these debtors' prisons that have sprung up all over the nation because of child support. So who has jurisdiction? Hashtag who has jurisdiction. Please send, contact your legislators. We want to know. We need some answers. That's it. That's all I have.
Okay, like I said, Marie, you're always welcome back on the show. Keep us informed, and we're going to stay in touch, because like we just said, we're going to try some strategies, and we're going to try to help the people of Colorado like we're doing in other parts of the country. And y'all join us again on another Saturday for another edition of the Child Support Hustle.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.